You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am so thrilled to introduce you to Crystal Carter, who is the head of SEO communications at Wix. She is an SEO and digital marketing professional with over 15 years experience working with SEO and marketing clients around the world, like Disney, McDonald's, and so many more. As an SEO, she identifies and implements tactics that help businesses optimize digital activities, drive sales, engagement, and growth online. She has contributed to events, webinars, publications from Google Search Central, Brighton SEO, Moz, WhiteSpark, Local Search Summit, SEMrush, SMX, Search Engine, Land, Lumar, Woman in Tech SEO, and so many more. And now, Marketing News Canada. Crystal.
Marketing News Canada. Woo. Hello.
Thank you for being here.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so many questions. I just want to start with like your bio. We're going to just go right there. So when people describe themselves and they say, hey, I work in SEO, or I'm an SEO coordinator, or I do SEO, like when people say I'm an SEO, give me kind of like the language around that when people describe when they do SEO professionally.
I think if you're an SEO, you're somebody who is looking for opportunities to maximize growth for businesses via search engines and via user discovery. So most of the time, that's going to happen on the website. But sometimes if you're an SEO, that might involve strategies that include offsite SEO strategies like getting more links, or might even veer into a little bit of social media, for instance. Like somebody has a Twitter account, for instance, if you post regularly enough, your Twitter results will show up on Google. So that kind of means that's kind of an SEO's business as well, because it can potentially drive growth to a website. You know, I've spoken a lot about visual search, for instance, and visual search is and how your brand is photographed in real life can affect how you show on Google search results as well. So that can sometimes be the remit of an SEO. But essentially, if you are an SEO, you are working with a business or a team to ensure that you are maximizing your visibility on search and driving good value for users and accessibility with a little A for bots.
That's amazing. And when you describe what you do for a living, do you need to put a word, like semantic, get into semantics of it? Do you need to add a word to SEO? Do you just say, I'm an SEO? Like I'm a search engine optimizer that does search engine optimizing.
Now you're getting into entities. So I'm someone who does search engine optimization, and I am also an SEO, an SEO consultant. So my personal role as the head of SEO communications, that role, I generally describe my personal role as communicating the value of SEO to Wix users and communicating the value of Wix to SEOs as well. So I'm sort of like making sure that, you know, SEOs have what they need to do cool things on Wix. You know, people who are more professional have good tools that they need to do a great job on Wix, and people who are, because Wix has served so many users, we've got 200 million plus users, and people who are like, hey, I want to start a website, I want to get a thing going, and we're like, yeah, cool, you do that thing, let's like get that website going, and they're like, I'm not sure about SEO, we're like, that's okay, we got you, we can cover you there too. So we need to make sure that we're able to do those things, so you know, we try to make sure that we're bridging that gap, and that's the role that I do. And a lot of that also includes doing hands-on SEO and digging in the trenches and, you know, getting involved with the product and also being quite a busybody on a number of SEO projects around the team.
It's amazing. Okay, so we've had like WordStream on, so we created WordPress. We've had Squarespace on and given them a chance to share about what they do and how it works. But Wix, I want to talk about like...
Now for the best.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, there's this like age-old argument of like, hey, you need WordPress to actually do SEO, right? And then even, you know, but then you look at Squarespace sites that perform really well. You look at Wix sites that perform really well. So like, can you break it down for those that are like, hey, my, you know, sister, my aunt created a website on Wix. Like, will it be optimized or do I need to tell them to switch over to WordPress? What do I say?
So I wouldn't tell them what you just said. Obviously, I would not say that. What I will say is that you need to make sure that you've got a website that works best for you. And what I would say is that Wix has some amazing SEO features, amazing SEO abilities that allow you to do fantastic things right out of the box. We have sitemaps built in to your Wix website. We have a tool for you to connect Google Search Console with a single click. We also have Google Search Console integrations in the tool. We also have keyword research things in the tool. A lot of people say, oh, I'd have to do this on a different CMS, but we have our SSLs already built into the tool. There's lots of things that, you know, for I've seen some things that are saying, oh, how do you create a website? And they're like this for I won't name names because I'm classy, but I won't specify. But like for some other CMSs, sometimes they'll say, oh, you have to do this, and this. And it's like, how do you do a website on Wix? You sign up to Wix.
Yeah.
Ta-da, like you're on Wix and basically like you have your SSL, you have your sitemap, you know, you have built-in things that will allow you to do. We even generate schema markup that will help you get rich results on search for a lot of our different tools. So we essentially, our general MO is to make sure that everybody has access to like a very good foundation, SEO foundation. You can optimize on top of that. You can add extra things, but like you're never going to be in a situation where you don't have a sitemap. Like we have sitemaps. And I've definitely, as an SEO, in like a consultant, gone onto pages and they don't have it. And we have checklists built into the process if you're not sure how to get started. We have, you know, we have things like, for instance, on structured data, if you add in structured data code and you've done it wrong, or you've done my favorite error, which is you add it in and it's the wrong quotation marks. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, I'm like, this is completely valid code. And they're like, that's not the right quotation mark. I'm like, I think it is. They're like, no, it's not. So if you do that, we'll tell you that this is going to be invalid. You can't submit this until it's valid. And then you can fix it and you can come back and things. So there's lots of different tools all built in and adding to it constantly. So yeah, I think that we will support you where you need to be supported. You can also be like, hey, I'm good. I'll do what I want. Like that's useful as well. And I think that we have probably more integrations than almost any other CMS in terms of in terms of SEO things that are built in. I don't think anybody else has Google Search Console integrated, their API integrated in the same way that we do. We have SEMrush built into our CMS. We have, you know, amazing SEO defaults that are leading the field.
Wix's office, is it close? Like there's SEMrush. You guys are like close. You're like neighbors almost, right? You can like...
I mean, the digital similar world is wide.
We're all neighbors. Yeah, because we got Ahrefs is in Singapore, right? So it's like you guys are all kind of... Yeah, okay. That's cool. But Wix is based, like headquarters. Where are you guys... HQ.
So Wix is a global company. So yeah. we have offices all over the world. HQ is in Tel Aviv, but we have offices. I'm based in the UK. We have offices in New York. We have offices in Los Angeles. We have offices all over the world. We've had a team based in Ukraine, and we are supporting them through all of those trials and tribulations. We also have a team based in Amsterdam. So yeah, it's a global company.
Amazing.
And serving, I think we serve 17 different languages as well.
Wow. It's amazing. I recently referred someone there because you have a really cool wine subscription system. So you have like a system set up where like people can subscribe and there's a whole back end for your membership. It's pretty awesome. Pretty cool
exactly.
feature.
Yeah, it's good. Great. It's good.
So talking about you, origin story, how did you end up in this role? Kind of what was your journey to this?
So I have worked in marketing since I left college, and I've worked in marketing the whole time in lots of different guises. So I've done freelance, I've done in-house, I've done public sector, I've done private sector, I've done agency, I've done projects, special projects, sort of things, like consultancy sort of elements. And in the last few years, I started doing a lot more outreach and sort of marketing communications sort of elements. So doing a lot of public speaking, and a lot of engaging people with sort of SEO development things. And I had been working on some of those. I'd done a podcast appearance, and I'd also done a lot of work with SEMrush, Morty Oberstein, and an opportunity arose. I was in discussions with him about it, and then we both joined the team, and it's been fantastic. And not soon after, our colleague George Wynn also joined, and we all work very, very closely on the Wix SEO Learning Hub and on the Wix SEO activity with our incredible team. And we are also, I think, Morty and myself get a lot of sort of like, wow, you guys are doing amazing things. But to be honest, like the team behind Wix SEO is
vast. We have the people who are working on making sure that every product rollout is great, and they're very enthusiastic. You know, when they're like, we just made this update, and literally in the meeting, everyone is like, round of applause, like, that is amazing. Look at that new update to the Google Search Console thing. And I love that team. They're an amazing team led by Natia Lemenik, who recently spoke at Brighton SEO about, you know, the ways that he does that sort of stuff, and also led by Inat and Shira, who are both amazing. We have some great work that goes on there. We also have a team of SEOs who work like mad on our Wix blog, which pulls in some incredible results from an organic SEO perspective. And they are, you know, they're creme de la creme in terms of content marketing. And so we have a lot of really enthusiastic SEO folks at Wix, and it's an amazing team to be a part of. And I absolutely love it.
That's incredible. Along the way, what maybe give some highlights, or like, how did you maybe get started in this, or what was kind of like your first foray into kind of marketing, or who kind of opened the door? Yeah.
So I studied English literature in college, and I went to Kenyon College, which is a liberal arts school. And if anybody knows anything about liberal arts, they'll know that you study a lot of stuff. So like, I studied English literature, but I also studied German film, and I also studied archaeology, and I also studied, you know, Spanish, and I did a thing on Nina Simone at one point. And so I was always really interested in lots of different things. But one of the things that was really interesting is I'm going to date myself here, but when I was at college, it was the first time that I'd had unlimited access to the internet all the time, because, you know, I've been online since the days of dial-up, when you'd have to be like, mom, get off the phone so I can go on AIM, like that sort of thing. And you have to do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So being at uni or being at college and having access to just unrestricted internet was phenomenal. And I was just like online all the time, which I think is crazy because there wasn't that much stuff online back then. Like, they're just like, compared to now, there was like, I don't know what I was even looking at. And so I've always been very, very attentive and very impactful of it. But I tell you what probably sparked the penny dropped for me, probably during President Obama's campaign activity, and watching the impact of like all the online campaigns when he was running, because he, you know, we think of Obama as, and regardless as to your political leanings or whatever, he ran an incredible campaign. And the thing about Obama that was really interesting was that he started as an outsider. People didn't really think he was going to do it, but he raised tons of money with small donations.
Yeah.
And it was unheard of at the time. Everybody else had done it through like big donations from big corporations, from big teams and things like that. But he was able to raise tons of money from, you know, small pools of people using the internet, like using online and using stuff like that. And I think that seeing the impact of that really made me think like, this is significant. The levers that we have now, you know, with social media and with the way that people are using that are going to be very significant in the future. So as I started getting into careers, looking at marketing as a career, I've always found advertising interesting. And I think growing up in the 90s, like you see like the big impact of brand, like brand was like, you know, there was so much brand visibility. You know, people like Michael Jordan had sponsorships with everything, and there's all of that sort of stuff. So I was very conscious of that. And I think going into work, there was a sort of combination of like being the young person and social media becoming more apparent, and people finally like being like, yeah, no, everybody needs a website, not just these people over here. There's probably people who are finding this now who are probably in their 20s, and somebody's like, we need to get on TikTok. And they're like, here's a person who's a Gen Z person.
Yeah.
Hey, Gen Z person, you do our TikTok. And they're like, do you have any qualifications? You're Gen Z, that'll do. Like,
yeah.
So I think early days, I think that sort of opportunity to make your opportunities and see what you can do can make work really well. So I was able to take opportunities. I started blogging. I started doing more things there and building up my portfolio individually. And I think that that's really important. When I speak to people, they're like, oh, I did a course, but I haven't been doing SEO because I don't have a job yet, or I haven't been able to get an internship. And you don't have to wait for somebody to give you an internship. You don't have to wait for somebody to give you a job to do SEO or to do digital marketing. If people ask me, how can I learn digital marketing? I'm like, do it. They're like, do what? I'm like, do something. Get a blog, get an Instagram account, get a TikTok, get a something, but do something where you are creating content or updating content or connecting with content, and with intent, right? So mm-hmm. you're saying, I want people to come to this website to click on this, or I want people to watch this video. And so I want to mess around with the algorithm to see how I can get people to watch this video. Is it with hashtags, or is it with timing, or is it with this, or is it with that? So I've always been somebody who's been trying things, and that's allowed me to get a lot of experience by working with lots of different people, because I'd say, hey, you don't have a website. Let me help you with your website. Hey, you don't have a social media account. Let me help you with that. Or, hey, we're doing this project and we should do this, like that sort of thing. And people say, yeah, sure, great, let's do that. And if you're doing these things in your spare time, like let's say you're in a club, you've got a bowling club or a church group or your Pilates class or whatever it may be, if they've got something and you're like, there's an opportunity here and you can work on that, then you can take those skills and you can apply them to something more professional or something later on, because a website is a website is a website. A blog is a blog is a blog. And the skills that you learn are transferable. And that's the thing I've always loved about marketing, is all the skills are transferable and you're constantly building on them. Mm. So, I was able to do stuff. I worked in the public sector to begin with, and I started off in a sort of events space, actually. I was events coordinator. And so I was doing marketing for events. And a lot of that is I didn't know that it was called that at the time, but it's a lot of it is off-page SEO, right? And citations. So this would have been a lot of link building. So I was sending lots of links to those websites from various event directories and citations and things like that, and optimizing the page so that it had all the information about all of the events and all of that sort of stuff. Then I was doing stuff where I was working with the local city, and I was working with them on creating content about their local parks. So I also set up new content for certain verticals that were really useful for them and things like that. After that, I worked where I did some e-com stuff, and I did some stuff with influencers and PR. And I think that's the other thing, is that one thing that I've learned in my career is that trying to be ahead of things and trying to see what's new and trying to capitalize on what's new can really, really help you. So for instance, with the ChatGPT stuff, for instance, is something that's out of it's the new buzzword. Although I'm not sure if it's still the new buzzword, but it's definitely a buzzword at the moment. Becoming somebody who knows about that within your team, and who knows how to use that within your team, can help make you valuable for your team and help you build that skill. So if you establish yourself as somebody in your team who knows how to write prompts, knows how to get the things, knows what things work best for your team in ChatGPT and things like that, then they'll give you more of that, and you'll be able to build up that skill more. And then if you ever leave that team, or if you ever see an additional project, you can take all of those skills with you. So I think in my career, I've been there very, very strategic about making sure that everything I do is adding to my skill set and adding to the capabilities that you have. So when I was applying for my agency job, for instance, they were asking me, oh, what can you do? And I'm like, well, I made this website. And they're like, what? You made that? I'm like, yeah, I made this. And they were like, oh, okay. And they're like, oh, and what about this? And I was like, well, I did that page, and I did this page, and I did that like that. And they were like, oh, all right. Because the thing is, you can say I'm great at SEO, but when people see the results, they can't argue with that.
Yeah.
And I've had it before where I've had clients where I'm not sure if they were initially convinced by me but my results, they were like, oh, I'm not sure if I like that approach. I'm like, well, Google liked it. Google's Google.
Yeah.
And then people immediately go, oh, okay. And that builds up credits for you. So I think that there was one point where I was thinking about AI, and AI, we talk about it as a new thing at the moment.
Yeah.
But AI is not new. it's not new at all. Yeah. And I remember thinking about AI, and I was like, actually, even the most fastest supercomputers, they process so many things at a certain rate. But actually, our brains are still faster. Our brains still have more neurons, more inputs, more outputs, more synapses firing in any 1 second. So investing in what's in your head is really, really important, and will help you grow, and will help you have a really resilient career, which is one of the reasons why I decided on marketing as a career. That there will always be someone who needs marketing, and there's lots of different ways that you can market. There's lots of different companies that you can do marketing in. There's lots of different skill sets. No day is the same. So yeah, I enjoy marketing for that reason. And I also, and I think that the approach of adding skills to your bow as you go along throughout your career is really, really useful.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's amazing. Is there any like kind of like more formal courses out there that you'd, you know, that you're aware of or maybe that you haven't maybe tried, but you'd maybe say like, hey, like SEM Rush has their certificate, their SEO online course.
Yeah, SEMrush has a good certification. Blue Array has a well-regarded certification. I haven't taken it yet, but they have They have a well-regarded one there. Yeah. We are currently, like a little spoiler, but we're currently working on our Wix SEO certification as well. But I would also say that particularly for Google search, It's worth looking at Google Analytics courses and also Google's PPC courses and things as well. So Google Digital Garage has those sorts of information, and Google's courses have got a lot of information there. And those Google certifications, particularly if you're looking to get started in SEO, are really useful. So for instance, there are some, I'm not sure what it is now, but sometimes an agency might need to have a certain number of people on their team who have passed certain courses on Google in order to get a certain Google Partner certification, for instance. So if that's the case, then if you have that on your thing, then that's really useful for you. So I would say that's really useful. And other than that, I would say demonstrating the work that you're doing is really important. So you can do this on Twitter. People will make Twitter threads that say, oh, you know, I did this, I got that. It's also useful to demonstrate it on a blog. That's really useful as well. And HubSpot also have some good solid courses. So I know a lot of people who speak very highly of the HubSpot content clustering course, for instance, as a sort of a good one. And it's a well-regarded certification as well.
It's awesome. And tell me about like conferences. You were just at Brighton. You got MozCon coming up. Maybe tell me some of the conferences that those in SEO or curious about SEO, where they should be and kind of learning from the best and networking with the best.
Yeah, so Brighton SEO is a great conference for a couple of reasons. So if you're looking to do conference speaking, please go to my website because I have a whole section on how you can do conference speaking. Even if you think you don't have any ideas, you certainly do. So I would highly recommend that. And I will shout out Brighton SEO because Brighton SEO prioritizes first-time speakers. So if you are a first-time speaker, apply to Brighton SEO. And you might say, oh, it's like if you're in the US or if you're in Canada, you might say it's really far away. But actually, the tickets for Brighton SEO are fairly cheap. They will cover your ticket, so your ticket will be free as a speaker. Also, they will cover some of your accommodations. So I think previously I've had like one night free stay as well. So when you're thinking about whether or not it's expensive, factor those things in. And even with flights, somebody did a calculation, and even with flights, it can be it's a really economical place. Also, people from all over the world go to Brighton SEO. So when I was there last, I was chatting with so I compared a session with Dwayne Brown, who is an SEO from Canada, and also there was someone there from France, and there were people there from England, and my team flew in as well from different places. So we had lots of there's people from all over the place. I think we had a delegation from Goa as well. We met up as well. So I think it's a good one for that. In the US-wise, MozCon is fantastic. Speaking at MozCon this year, I spoke at MozCon last year. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a really warm, friendly conference. But I think that if you have an opportunity to attend an SEO conference, I absolutely would, because it's a really good opportunity to focus your attention and to learn some new insights from different folks. And normally the quality of the speakers will be really good, and typically people will give you sort of insights that you've never never considered before, which is really great. And it's also really useful to meet in person some of the folks that you might have connected with online. So generally speaking, you know, there'll be some really high value, good relationships that you'll make at a conference. So I highly recommend attending a conference if you can.
It's amazing. And how for you, like just being in the sector, like what are some like inspirational people or kind of resources that you go to, or what kind of keeps you motivated and going?
So the community I find generally is really, really helpful and really, I'm really engaged. I'm in the Women in Tech SEO community. I've been a mentor twice for their mentoring session. I am an active contributor to their Slack channel, which is super active and really friendly. If you identify as women, the Women in Tech SEO group is super friendly and there are no dumb questions. There's nobody going to be like, how come you don't know that? Nobody's going to say that to you ever. Yeah. And it's full of some of the best SEOs in the world. Cindy Crum is somebody who was one of my biggest inspirations for getting into technical SEO. Yeah. And somebody said, oh, who's your inspiration? I was like, Cindy Crum is one of my biggest inspirations for getting into technical SEO. And then she replied, hey, thanks for saying that. And I was like, oh my God, Cindy Crum just knows I exist. And then she was like, want to jump on a call? And I was like, oh my God, it's Cindy Crum. And she was super nice and is super nice and is fantastic. And shout out to Cindy Crum and her dog, Barkley, who's amazing. And also many more people. I also happen to be in a little group chat with Achieve and MJ and Miracle and Ameti, and also with Rejoice Ajaku, and also with Anu Adigbola. And they're fantastic. And we have lots of great, great chats there. And I think it's really useful to find different communities of SEOs. We also have like, sort of Wix SEO folks that I talk to as well. Simon Cox is someone that we talk to a lot. He does a lot of things on Wix SEO, for instance. And so I think it's really useful to find a crew, like a little crew of folks who are interested in the same kind of SEO that you do or who connect with you and on a sort of community level. So I know that at Brighton SEO, for instance, there was a sort of photo call for LGBTQI+ folks on the main stage. And so lots of people who identify as LGBTQI+ and SEOs came together and they all have a photo and then people can connect that way. And there were a few other groups who did similar photo calls. And I think that things like that can be really useful because particularly if you're consulting, sometimes issues of identity can come up when you're like engaging with new clients and things. And sometimes that can feel a bit challenging or can feel a bit sort of like, oh, I don't know what to do in that situation. And if you're in a community of folks who have similar life experiences around that, they can say, oh, people ask me that all the time. Actually, I normally say this. And you can say, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Or for instance, I know there's a few SEOs who've talked about parenting and, you know, challenges of being a parent and working in an agency or working in an in-house situation or things like that. And Darian's like, I know this.
Yeah.
Darian's like, I got four kids. I know.
The joys, right? Yeah.
Right. So you'll know other people who also have children.
Yeah. No, exactly. And some cases, parents that they look after. Right. So
right, it goes both ways. So people have got caring responsibilities, various things. But people who have similar life experiences, you can say, what do you do when this happens? And I think the thing that's important about that is like, and I've said this before, but I think it's important to remember that like, even if you feel like you're the only person in the room, whatever only person identity you might be, it might be that you're the only vegan in the room. It might be that you're, you know, whatever it may be. But if you feel like you're the only person in the room, if you have a group of people who share that similar identity, then like you're never the only person in the room because like if something happens, you can go, oh my gosh, this happened. And and you know, your crew can sort of re-fortify you in whatever situation it is. So for instance, like vegan folks, like people say, oh, like, is there vegan food at Brighton SEO? And then all the other vegan folks who go to Brighton SEO go, yeah, there's this or there's that, or don't go to that place or this sort of thing. So I think it's really important to sort of find communities wherever possible because it can just really make a difference between sort of, you know, doing a job and getting joy out of a job.
Yeah, that's amazing. Are you ready for the rapid fire round?
Okay.
You ready for this?
I think so. Am I ready?
You're ready. I think you're ready.
It's about to happen anyway.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. So just the first thing, quick, short, beautiful answers. Here we go. What was the first ever job you had?
I worked at a pizza place. I can still cut a circle into 10 even spaces, which is harder than it sounds.
Yeah, that's amazing. Night owl or early bird?
Both.
Both, perfect.
I sleep like 5 hours a night.
Perfect, it's great.
I'm like a wolf.
That's awesome. Do you nap then? Are you a napper? Do you, Do you partake in the naps during the day or no?
No, I'm just always tired.
You're just always tired. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Are you a cat or a dog person?
Office dog person.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
I like a dog I can say hello to, but I don't have to maintain.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. Like you're like the cool aunt. Dog. Aunt. What was the first thing you ever marketed?
The first thing I ever marketed? Coffee at the coffee shop that I worked at in college, I think.
Perfect. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I made up fun names.
Yeah, that's a great example. Dark or milk chocolate?
Dark. I don't do milk. Me and milk don't get along.
Okay. Favorite word right now?
Innovative. I live in England and people say innovative, not innovative.
Okay.
Innovative.
I like it. That works. That works.
Yeah, it sounds like you might sneeze. Like if you say it, you feel like you might sneeze.
Innovative. Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like you might sneeze?
Yeah. It's like how they say aluminum, right? It's very different.
Right?
Yeah.
Aluminium.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's cooler. Cooler.
Innovative aluminium.
It's perfect. What is the last charity you supported financially or with your time and why?
I am on the board of Libraries Unlimited, which is the local charity for libraries in the southwest of England. Shout out to libraries. I was a library volunteer when I was a kid. I remember going on Netscape at the library in Los Angeles, California when I was a kid. I took my kid to that library and I was like in tears. Oh. I was like, look at the rotunda. Look at this library. I love libraries.
Oh, that's awesome. I used to volunteer at a retirement home and I was Darian the Hungarian librarian is what they would call me. Yeah, kind of my thing. I pushed a cart giving people books and they'd sign them
out. Did you ever get to put the plastic on the paperbacks?
I did, actually. It was a thing.
I love it so much.
I don't think I was very good at it, though. So
there's definitely a knack to it. That's why I liked it, because you had to oh, did I get bubbles? No bubbles. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no, I was never good at that. Bringing up memories here. What is a movie that you just love, you could watch over and over again?
Coming to America.
Yeah. Nice.
With the original one from the 80s. Yes. I've watched it 300 million times. It's my favorite movie.
That's amazing. Favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Favorite song or album on repeat right now? I've been talking a lot about Celine Dion because, like, I don't know why, but she keeps coming up. I went to a show a cabaret event the other day.
Yeah.
And so the lady said, I'm going to be doing Celine Dion. And I was like, there were nights when the wind was so, and then that was, you know, the song. And then, that was the song. And I lost my mind. Yeah. And people were like, do you like Celine Dion? I'm like, I love Celine Dion unironically and unequivocally. Like I just like, I love her. I don't care. I love Celine Dion.
Do you know the Deadpool story? Ryan had her do a song for the Deadpool, the movie.
No.
So she was like, her husband had just died. It's quite sad. And what got her out of the funk, she tells this amazing story, was that Ryan was like, can you do the song for this movie? And then there's actually a music video where they hired an actual like kind of a dancer, like a great dancer to dance in the Deadpool costume to Celine Dion singing this like really powerful, beautiful song. And again, both being Canadian, Ryan and Celine, it's like it was very meant to be. So if you get the chance after this, Deadpool, Celine Dion,
I will absolutely check that out because, love her.
Okay. If you weren't doing this job, like in another multiverse, what would you be doing with your life?
I don't know. Maybe I've previously said that I would take up quilting, but I might take up dressmaking. I sew. So I do a little bit of sewing and I have a vintage sewing machine that's like a hand cranked one. And I really like it because it means I can like watch box sets and sew because it's not that noisy. So yeah, I would probably take up sewing. As a thing.
It's awesome. That's great. It's awesome. What's an app on your phone you can't live without?
I really like SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Nice. So I really like SoundCloud and I prefer it over Spotify because there's lots of DJ mixtapes and I just love a DJ mixtape. So I recently found one that was like all like 90s R&B like ballads and stuff. Yeah. And it was like 3 hours. I sang this all out. It was like Toni Braxton and Mariah Carey and stuff. Yeah. On my way back from Brighton, like that was what I did. I was just like just singing my heart out like through the countryside of England.
Amazing.
And so I like SoundCloud for that because it's just like really fun mixtapes. On the way to Brighton, it was just like a bunch of Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B mixtapes.
Perfect. I recently introduced, so I have my 7 and 9 year old daughters. I introduced them to Just One of Them Days. I think it was, is it Brandy? Just One of Them.
That's Monica.
Yeah. Is it Monica?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did do a collab. They did do a collab, and it was like epic, obviously. Okay. You were just dancing. I don't know if this is just audio and you're not, and you just missed Darian dancing, you missed a trick.
The backbeat on that song is incredible. Like it's one of the best.
And it's got the ta-da-da.
Yeah, no. And sometimes you just feel like that. It's like sometimes you don't know how to articulate it, but that song explains all the feelings.
Exactly.
And you have one of those days. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's perfect. No,
it was good. Favorite children's book?
Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne. Not the Disney stuff.
Yeah.
The original A.A. Milne, Winnie the Pooh. I've read that to my kid like loads and loads when he was really little. I've probably read that book more than I've read any other book.
Yeah.
And like I just love them. I love that Winnie the Pooh like eats too much.
Yeah.
I love that Eeyore's grumpy and people are like, yeah, it's just Eeyore. I love that Owl doesn't know what he's talking about, but just says stuff anyway. Yeah. I also love that like Rabbit is like too busy for all of this nonsense. So yeah, I also love that Piglet like makes excuses. He's like, I have like anything else to do, so I'm just gonna leave now.
And
I'm like.
And we meet all those people in our adult lives every day. Yeah,
all the time. All the time. And it's just brilliant. I just love it so much. So yeah, if you haven't read Winnie the Pooh, like the original one, which I hadn't read until I was an adult.
Yeah.
Then somebody else recommended it to me. And I was like, this is just joy. It's just so lovely. And also, I think if you're somebody who likes frolicking in the woods, as I do, it's just such a joy of that. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Best thing you ever bought for under $10?
Ooh, for under $10. I do a lot of secondhand shopping at... I bought a vegan leather jacket for £5 from a charity shop, like a secondhand shop in England. And like that is, it's amazing. I get compliments on that jacket all the time. And it looks like it was made for me. And it was $5. Please go to secondhand shops because there are some fantastic finds. And it's good for the environment.
Yeah. Reduce, reuse, recycle. There we go.
Like Captain Planet said.
Exactly. Captain Planet. Much love to Captain Planet today. And Miss Frizzle. I'm going to give some extra love to Miss Frizzle, too.
Yes, Miss Frizzle. Best episode. Here's a question for you. Best episode.
Blood flow. They went into the bloodstream, and it was all the different like types of blood things. It was like, and they were fighting it. It was like, it got pretty vicious, intense. Yes.
But that's how I remember how the immune system works.
Yes,
it's
right?
Because of what Miss Frizzle said. I'm like, because the white blood cells are going to come and get you. Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Good answer. That's correct. Correct, Darian.
Thank you. Imagine if I was like a faker. I was just like Miss Frizzle because it's, no. What's the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
Ooh, the most important thing that I ever changed my mind about is probably my Fitbit thing.
Yeah.
My husband got me this for Christmas and I was like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to count my steps, but actually I do. And it's like useful and it's helped me to like do better exercise and be a better person. So there we go.
There you go. You know, my wife, I was pushing back on an Apple Watch and I finally, because I've never worn a watch in my life. And so finally when I got it though, but what I like is that it tracks my swimming when I swim.
Yeah.
And it's been fun because I'm like, I wanted to like try different swimming tracking things. And so that's been kind of cool about it.
It's useful. It's really, really easy to become very self-absorbed with wearables because they tell you all this data all of a sudden. And I'm like, well, I slept for this many hours last night. Or, I've got this. Like, it's just, it's too much. But it's a lot of fun. So there we go.
Throwback here. Books. Any business or marketing books you'd recommend?
Business or marketing books. So with regards to that, I think that... The Wix SEO guide is available as a book. You can download that on Wix SEO Learn. Wix SEO Learn. It's wix.com/SEO/learn. And there is a 100-page-plus guide to all things Wix SEO. You should download that because that is a fantastic marketing book.
We'll put a link in the show bio, which would be great. Crystal, where can people find you online?
So I'm on Twitter far too much at Crystal on the web. I am also a contributor to the Wix SEO Hub. We do regular webinars there. I do a podcast that is there as well. And mostly there. I'm also on LinkedIn sometimes, so you can find me there. But and I also have a website, crystalcarterseo.com, where I have a public speaking toolkit. And I also have a resource that has a directory of lots of SEO tools made by women and lots of other cool stuff like that.
It's incredible. Crystal, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Jared.
That's amazing. Thank you. This was Crystal Carter from Wix. We'll put all those links in the show notes. So thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Marketing News Canada. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and the Podfather.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.